Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a heatwave style raga cut carve edit in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the DNB way, loose, dangerous, and still super controlled underneath. The goal here is not just to chop up a vocal and call it a day. We're making a proper transition section that can bridge an intro into a drop, break up a long loop, or act as a switch up before the second drop. Think of this as a DJ ready edit with attitude, where the vocal, the drums, and the bass all feel like they're in a conversation. For this session, set your project around 170 to 174 BPM. That's the sweet spot for this kind of raga-driven drum and bass energy. Load in a kick and snare, a breakbeat layer, a sub or re-space, and a raga vocal phrase you want to work with. If you're starting from scratch, keep the structure simple. Intro, drop, edit, return. The edit should feel like a pressure release before the next hit, not like the track suddenly changed its mind. First, get the vocal clean and ready. Make sure it's warped properly. For raga phrases, complex pro or beats can both work, depending on the source. If the vocal is punchy and percussive, beats often gives you a tighter, more rhythmic result. If it's more melodic or formant heavy, complex pro can keep it sounding more natural. Trim it down so you're only working with a phrase you actually want to chop, and loop a short section so you can hear how it behaves against the grid. Now comes the slicing. Duplicate the vocal clip and make yourself a dedicated edit lane. You can either slice it to a new MIDI track for maximum control, or split it manually with Command or Control E if you want to stay in audio. The important part is where you cut. Slice on syllables, consonants, breath noises, and vowel tails. You want enough pieces to shuffle the phrase around, but not so many that it loses its identity. A good starting point is somewhere around 8 to 16 slices over one bar. Now start arranging those slices like a little call and response performance. Let some chops hit right on the grid, let a few sit slightly late, and leave some obvious gaps where the snare and bass can punch through. That push and pull is what makes the edit feel human. In this style, one bar can open the phrase, the next can answer the snare, the next can get more fragmented, and the last one can stretch out into a tail or throw before the downbeat. If every slice lands perfectly, it starts sounding robotic. We want character, not a sample pack loop. This is where Groove Pool becomes the secret weapon. Open Groove Pool and try a groove from the library, or extract groove from a break if you've got a good one. For this kind of DNB edit, you usually want a groove that feels a little late on the back half, relaxed enough to swing, but not so loose that the track loses drive. A good starting point is around 54 to 58% swing, with timing around 10 to 25%. You can also add a little random and velocity variation, if you want a more human feel. Apply that groove to the vocal chops first, then to the break, and maybe to any percussion fills that should move with it. But don't give everything the exact same amount. That's an easy way to make the whole section wobble. Usually the vocal can sit around 15 to 25%, hats and perks a bit lighter, and the break a little stronger if it needs to feel more broken up. Bass, on the other hand, often needs less groove or none at all if it's the anchor. The trick is shared swing with different intensities. That's what keeps the section alive without making it fall apart. And here's a big coaching point. Don't just think swing, think push and pull. Some slices can land a touch ahead, others can relax behind the beat. Groove Pool gives you the global glue, but manual nudges by ear are what make the edit feel like it was cut in a real session rather than generated by a grid. Now we carve the rhythm so the low end and drums can breathe. On the vocal track, use auto filter to high pass the phrase, usually somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on the sample. If it's getting muddy, use EQ8 to clean out some low mid build up around 200 to 400 Hz. If the vocal is fighting the snare crack, a gentle dip in the 2.5 to 4.5 kHz range can help. Don't overdo the EQ. The point is to clear space, not strip away the character. Also carve with arrangement, not just EQ. If a vocal slice is stomping on the snare, move it, shorten it, or leave a gap there. Let the vocal tail happen after the snare instead of on top of it. The same goes for the bass. In the edit section, keep the sub simple. Reduce bass density during busy vocal moments. If necessary, pull the bass back by a dB or two in a specific bar rather than overprocessing it. In drum and bass, that low-end discipline is what keeps the whole thing club-ready. Next, add a break layer underneath the vocal. This is what gives the section motion and makes it feel like a real DNB edit rather than just a vocal chop over a loop. Use a classic break or a resampled drum loop, warp it to the grid, and decide whether you want to work with light beat repeat or just manual slices. Manual slicing usually gives you more control and a more intentional feel. On the brake track, a little glue compressor can help. Just enough to glue things together, maybe a dB or two of reduction. Use EQ8 to cut out any rumble below 30-40 hc, and maybe bring some body forward around 150-250 hc if the brake feels too thin. If the snare tails are getting too long, use shorter slices or clip gain to tighten them up. Then apply the same groove as the vocal, but maybe with a little more variation so it feels alive. The vocal and brake should sound like they were cut in the same room. Now let's add the bass response. Keep it sparse. This is not the place for non-stop bass movement. Instead, make the bass answer the vocal. If you've got a Reese or Neuro-style bass line, simplify the rhythm for this section. Leave holes where the vocal lands. Let the bass hit like punctuation. You can use operator for a clean sub, or wavy double or analog for the mid-bass layer. Add saturator for some weight, and auto filter for movement. A good strategy is to keep the sub mostly on root notes and use the mid layer for the more expressive stuff. Open the bass filter slightly only at the end of the phrase, so the section blooms into the next drop. If the vocal is dense, just reduce the bass in that bar rather than forcing everything to coexist. That little bit of restraint creates way more impact. Once the chop is feeling good, commit it. Resample the vocal edit, brake layer and bass response to a new audio track and print a pass. This is one of the most useful moves in the whole lesson. Resampling locks in the groove, lowers CPU, and gives you something you can cut up again. Now you can reverse tiny pieces, create new gaps, stretch a tail, or reslice an accidental moment that sounds even better than the original. This is where the edit starts becoming a finished section instead of a rough idea. After that, shape the arrangement with automation. Use auto filter cutoff on the vocal or break to open the energy over the phrase. Add a little delay or reverb throw on the last vocal word. Use utility to create a small pre-drop dip if you want the impact to hit harder. And if you want extra smack, a touch of drum bus or saturation on the edit bus can make the whole section feel more glued and aggressive. A strong arrangement for this kind of thing might look like this. The first bar gives you chopped vocal and break motion. The second bar brings in the bass with restraint, the third bar opens the filter and thickens the percussion, and the fourth bar gives you a final vocal throw, maybe a small pocket of silence, then straight into the drop. That breath before the downbeat can be absolutely devastating in a good way. In darker rollers especially, that tiny moment of emptiness makes the drop feel much bigger. Here are a few things to watch out for. Don't over-quantize everything. If every slice is locked rigidly, you lose the ragga feel. Don't let the vocal get too thick in the low mids. Ragga phrases can get muddy fast, especially against a busy break and bass line. Don't overdo the groove either. If the swing is too heavy, the section starts feeling lazy instead of dangerous. And don't keep tweaking forever. At some point you have to print the resample and treat it like a real arrangement element. For a darker, heavier DNB flavor, keep the edit bus simple. A little compression, a touch of saturation, maybe some filter movement, and that's often enough. If you want more grit, use a parallel return with distortion, short delay, and filtering rather than crushing the original vocal. If the vocal feels too clean, resample it through saturation and reslice the printed version. That usually helps it sit better in jungle and darker rollers. Here's a quick practice challenge to lock it in. Make a one-bar ragga edit at 172 BPM. Slice it into about 8 to 12 pieces. Apply a groove with around 15% timing and 56-58% swing. Leave at least two clear gaps for the snare. Automate an auto filter from dark to slightly open across four bars. Add a simple bass answer, one note on bar 1 and one syncopated stab on bar 3. Then resample the whole thing, and make one version a little looser and one version tighter. Compare which one feels more like a real DNB transition. The big takeaway is this. A ragga cut carve edit works when it feels like a rhythmic conversation between vocal, drums, and bass. Groove pool gives you the human swing, carving gives you the space, and resampling turns the loop into an actual section with attitude. Keep the low end disciplined, keep the mids clear, and let the tension build toward the drop. If you do that, your edit stops sounding like a loop and starts sounding like a proper drum and bass moment.